to share. I'm going to kick off by giving a little tiny testimony. I love the fact that God not only answers big prayers, but he answers little prayers. I remember about 3 or 4 months ago, I prayed to God two things. I said, God, I really like Michelin star food. Okay. And I never get a chance to go out for a Michelin star meal, which is like really classy. When you get like 15 courses, all little tiny. I love that stuff. My husband hates it. We've not been for about 8 years. So I prayed that. And I said, the second thing, Lord, I want is a bonfire. So 2 weeks ago, I was in Berlin teaching on worship. And the leaders took me out for, bizarrely, a Michelin star meal. And I come in Foundations, and we've got a bonfire. So, Sarah, that was a real answer to prayer. And I loved it. It was really lovely. I should have asked God, God, can I have a fire and marshmallows? But I didn't pray that. But that's okay, next time. That's not what it was for, I'm joking. So, any testimonies or anything you want to share from this weekend? While you're thinking about it, the choir were fantastic. So well done. You sang beautifully. It's amazing what you can accomplish in just like an hour of rehearsal. And the dancers also really did my heart good. I felt I was being ministered to. So well done. So any testimonies? Or you're a bit shy? Oh, yes, Sarah.
Not so much a testimony, but it's actually what I found that when Jeremy said to have quiet time and just say, listen to the Lord, I just really felt the Lord saying how blessed he was by, you know, we're just a group of ordinary people who love Jesus and who have been willing to just do things maybe that we've never done before. And everything that we've done, I think he's really taken as a sweet offering, an offering of incense to him. And he has been blessed. So I just really wanted to share that with you. And that as we step out in the little and we're faithful in the little, he gives us the much. So be encouraged by, you know, you might think that maybe you didn't contribute much or you didn't, or what you did wasn't, you know, I mean, I've never sung before, and I can't do anything like that. But you just do it, you know, with Joe, who just gently leads us. And, you know, things don't have to be perfect. They just need to come from our hearts. And so I just believe that God is saying that he's smiling on us and that he's been blessed and wants to encourage you all.
I just think that it's just a total freedom here, and I thank the Lord for that, that we're really being allowed to just absorb the Lord, and I just feel he's saying he wants to take us to his banqueting table, and the banner over us is love.
Aww. Why don't we just respond to that? Let's just sing it. Is this mic on? Is that working? Can you hear me? Okay. Okay, let's stand.
He brought me to his banqueting table. He brought me to his banqueting table. He's brought me to his banqueting table. He brought me to his banqueting table and his banner. Banqueting table. He brought me to his banqueting table. He brought me to his banqueting table. He brought me to his banqueting table. He brought me to table and his banner over me. His love, his banner. At your table, oh God, you do all things well. Just look at our lives. His banner over you, his banner over me, his banner over us is love, love, love. His banner over you, his banner over me, his banner over us is love. His banner over you, his banner over me. His banner over us is love, love, love. His banner over you, his banner over me. His banner over us is love, love, love. I am my beloved's and he is mine. 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 His banner over me is love. His banner over me and his banner. His banner over you, his banner over me, his banner over us is love, love, love. His banner over you, his banner over me, his banner over us is love, love,
this canopy, and he's saying, I'm espoused to you. Oh, the hoopla. And he's just lovely. You know, it's just, he loves the Jews. They are his espoused people. He can never turn his back on them, can he? Never. And he loves us too.
Thank you.
I've been sitting at the front nearly all the time.
Yeah, please have a seat.
and as we were worshipping at the Messianic worship at the very end, I was looking at the lectern here, and I thought, wow, that's like, this is the body, symbolic of the body. We are the body, we are the bride. And it was like the Lord Jesus, that's his prayer shawl. It was like the bridegroom, and then you start to sing in Maranatha. I thought, yes, come, Lord Jesus. And it was like he was there looking at us with a prayer shawl. And this is almost like his head, but he is the head. We are the body. And he's longing. He's the bridegroom just longing to come for his beautiful bride. And we are his beautiful bride. So I just had to share that.
Thank you. What an incredible thing it is to be loved by the King of Kings. Bob. The wonderful Bob.
I know.
Isn't he lovely? I just love this man.
Praise the Lord, not me. Praise his name. But I just think very much that it's been on our... I go to a little meeting on a Thursday afternoon of older people, and the chap who leads it is 85, and he was a home evangelist. He's knocked on more or less 350,000 doors in the area of the city of Plymouth. And he knows a few people. And his prayer last week was that John 17. And I think the one thing we must do, as the Lord recounts doing, is when we go home, to read the prayer that the Lord Jesus prayed to Father, and pray it again, and to pray it again, and to pray it again, that the Lord will fulfill what he says in that prayer. So I'm not going to quote from John 17 now, but you know it's the Lord's prayer just before he was going to the cross. Amen.
Amen.
No.
We want to hear your lovely voice.
About a week ago, the Lord gave me a picture of a bowl of fruit. And so I thought, well, I'll draw that. And I came here to draw in the drawing session to draw it, but I am not artistic. And I tried to draw the bowl, and I didn't get much further. So I went up to the library to look for a picture of a bowl of fruit. And I couldn't find one anywhere, and I searched through all the books. And then on the table, I looked, and what I should have bought was this book. And it's got all the fruit. So thank you, Lord, for giving me this book. And also, I think if I could ask just, we're moving house tomorrow. So the Lord, Satan has attacked us on many fronts. So if you could just bear us in mind with that.
Yes. Must be loads of testimonies. What, God's son? Yeah, Jenny? Oh, sorry.
I just want to thank the Lord for being with his family, his children. I just praise you, Father, that we can love one another because it's your love. That's the love, Father, that you want seen. You want to hear about. Out there they do. Such a need to hear about your love, to see your love amongst his children. That's the precious part, his love among us. I thank God for bringing us together this time now to move us on in the love for one another. So that we can be revealing in the dark place his love, wherever we are, whatever we do. So that out there, they'll want the same. They'll want that love. They'll want to know about that love. And that's really our biggest witness. Is meeting together, encouraging, praying, bringing up to God those things that he will act on. Whatever prayers for whoever in the world, whatever we have in the work God's prepared in advance for us to do. So, love you lots. Love you lots.
Thank you. We are going to have a little time later on of praying for the nation in groups. So we'll come back to that and pray. That's really precious. Thank you. Jenny.
Yesterday evening, I was prayed for. Now, 14 years ago, I went to bed one night, and the next morning I couldn't get up. And my son had to throw me over his shoulder to go to the bathroom, called the doctor, and they didn't know what was wrong, but I couldn't move, and I'd been a very active person, and I called for the elders of the church to anoint me with the oil, And they said, you'll very quickly be better. And I said, praise the Lord, I need to be up doing my three jobs a day. But it wasn't to be. And after 10 weeks, I was so thankful because the left side came right. But I'm sorry to tell you, the right side didn't. And I could no longer work again. At the time, I felt abandoned. I said, God, where are you? You want me to share the gospel. And how can I do this? Here I am. And I felt useless. But the Lord said to me, I'm still here. And I said, where are my friends? And he said, I've got a lot to teach you. And at that time, I didn't realize it, but it was the beginning of him teaching me how to pray. And of course that was important, and of course I was doing too much. I've never been able to work since. I've tried everything, physiotherapy, chiropractors, anything, because the pain was so bad. And in the end, recently, I've just said, well, Lord, how can I fulfill my destiny if down my right side I can't walk very far? And anyway, I just said, well, Lord, it's over to you. I cannot heal myself. Only you can. And the Lord has always promised me that the day would come when there would be an improvement. Our sister over here called out a word of knowledge, saying there was someone here who'd got pain and it wasn't what the doctor had told them. Well, no one ever really knew. I saw so many specialists and they all said, we don't know. We can't do anything. Well, God can do what man can't because he's the healer. And I'd never given up hope that I would get better. And anyway, it's very difficult when you're trying to cope and you can't do things. And anyway, the long and short of it is that last night they prayed for me and there's a great improvement. And I believe I'm going to be totally healed.
Isn't that an incredible testimony, what God's doing? And also this morning, there's going to be an opportunity for prayer and anointing of oil if you need physical healing. And it would be good, Jenny, to have anointing oil to say to the Lord, not stopping here until total and full healing.
A lot of you have probably heard about my car. It's the most talked about car, and I think I don't know of any other car that's been talked about so much. Anyway, I don't know what it's like. It's actually covered in pigeon poo at the moment, so I'm going to have to get a bucket of water before I leave. But anyway, I just wanted to give a testimony to the Lord because, as many of you won't know, but before I came, I had a very big bill because my clutch went. So I got that fixed. But I said, well, Lord, I can't really, because I really felt the Lord wanted me to be here. So when that happened, of course, everything was thrown into the air, and I thought, well, I can't work this out. So anyway, I thought, well, Lord, it's in your hands, because I've got to get the car done. So anyway, I got it done, and the long and short of it was I couldn't afford to come. So it was a Thursday afternoon. I was standing at the bus stop waiting to go out to pick up my car, which had been fixed, and I got my mobile phone went. And it was Steve. And he said, I've got some news for you. He didn't say it was good or bad, but he said, I've got some news for you. I said, oh, yes, Steve. He said, well, I'd like to tell you that you can come to the conference. So, because apparently there is an arrangement where they have a number of people and then they get one free place. So I thought, oh, well, praise the Lord. So I'm here because the Lord wanted me to be here. And I really, really do thank him for that. It's wonderful to be in the choir. I love singing anyway. And I've been told by Carol I've got to do the dancing next time. So But I do want to give the Lord praise and thanks. And I thank for Jose for his wonderful ministry and teaching, which is just so special. And for all of you who have been so friendly, warm. And I just can't wait for heaven. Because, you know... When heaven comes, by the Lord's grace, we won't be separated again. There won't be, but I think we're going to be doing amazing things. I just want to say one thing quickly from what Jose was saying and from what our Brother David was saying earlier on, I think we do not understand the half of what God has done and what he is capable of doing and the greatness of who he is, because we have been so deceived and so much has been stolen away from us through our hierarchical church and all these things, that we've lost so much of the glory and greatness of God. But the Lord is restoring it, and praise his wonderful name. So I just thank him. I thank all of you, Joe and everybody, and my dear mate, my dear friend Danny, who came down with me, and he was my sat nav. So there we are. So thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Just talking about heaven. I shared with at the last conference, so some of you may have already heard this. That's my brother Andy, by the way. Say hello, Andy. our dad died early this year. And I had a dream that he came back to see me. And it was a really wonderful dream. And I said, oh, Dad, have you got an organ in heaven? Because he plays the organ, you see. And he said, oh, Joanne, you cannot imagine the beauty of the music up there. He said, it's beyond anything you've ever heard. And I said, what about Jesus? Do you get to be close to Jesus? And tears filled his eyes and just said, you have no idea how amazing it is to be near Jesus and the love that's in heaven. You'll never experience anything like it on earth. And tears were rolling down his face as he was trying to describe the beauty and the love in heaven. So that's where our hope is, isn't it? Let's drag as many people there as we can possibly get there. Danny. Oh, Colin. Yay. Oh. So when I collected this wonderful man from the hospital, guess what he was doing?
Evangelizing.
Shalom.
Shalom.
I'd also like to thank Steve for inviting me here. Steve and Monica have been so kind, picking me up at Exeter Airport, wheeling me across the car park in a wheelchair. I was a bit embarrassed. But I'll tell you something, this conference has taught me a lot. Having had the incident and going to hospital, I didn't have my name badge on when I got in yesterday, and I thought nobody will know me because I've no name badge. But people were coming up and said, "Are you Colin?" And I said, "They know me." It in a sense, it was a wonderful thing happening. And then I started writing people's names in Hebrew on God Bless You bookmarks. So not only do people know my name, but I know everybody's name, mostly here too. So it's been very reciprocal and a blessing. And in that time, I got to know people, talk with people, pray with people. People prayed with me, for me. It's been a time of blessing, two-way blessing. And I think that's how God intends it to be. And I think that's how Yeshua intends it to be. So I just think of names, that we're here to glorify his name most of all. So I'm just giving that short testimony, how much a blessing it's been for me to be here and come back. And I was using my little walking stick, which I use when I'm tired, but I came up here with a skip in my step because I really feel reinvigorated physically and spiritually. So I'd just like to thank you all, and God bless you all. Thank you.
For those of you who I haven't spoken with yet, my name is Alison, and I would like to just echo the words of our sister over here, that Jose's teaching has been truly wonderful, but I do want to just pull him up on one thing. In love. No, I just want to, we're all guilty of what I'm about to share with you, actually. Me included. So you know what it's like when you point the finger at someone, there's three pointing back at you. So I'm preaching to myself as well. At the beginning of your talk yesterday morning, you mentioned clergy and the fact that clergy just do not get this message of Israel. I believe generally that's probably true, but actually I am a member of the clergy and I come to these conferences to network. and to make friends and to gain support and encouragement. And that's what I have been able to do here. And thank you to those who have really supported me and encouraged me. But my message is, can we find a different way of talking about the clergy and blessing them with our words? I'm sure I'm not the only one. It feels like I'm the only one. It really does, a lot of the time. My church is in the Southampton area, St. Luke's in Hedge End in Southampton. And really, I'm just going to offer, I'm putting it out, I'm asking, requesting. I'm going to put my email address on the bottom of this paper up here. And if any of you would like to take my email address and support me in prayer on a regular basis, I would absolutely be humongously blessed, because it is a bit of a jungle out there. And I know that when God called me into the church, and recently when he asked me to be a church link for Christian Friends of Israel and things like that, and I asked him, Lord, are you really asking me to do this? And he woke me in the night and he said, take the land, but don't take it for granted. In other words, it's not going to be easy. And it isn't. I have two passions in my ministry. It's not to have a parish of my own or anything like that. I'm a curate. I'm still in the third year of 4 years of training. My passion is for healing and deliverance ministry within the church to come alive, and for the church to understand Israel. So thank you to all of those who have really blessed me. Thank you to Salt Shakers. So yeah, I'm going to put my email up. No pressure, but if you'd like to, it would be great. Thank you.
Thank you. So,
I'd just like to endorse that, because I'm a retired, spelt T-Y-R-E-D, Baptist pastor. Okay. So I don't pastor my own church anymore, but I do occasionally get to preach in the church I belong to when the pastor's on holiday. And although I'm a Baptist, I'm actually on the Methodist rota, because, you know, they've always got one minister for three or four churches. So I'm on their road, and I preach in a Methodist church about four times a quarter. And so I'm able to get the right message out. I'll be a little bit careful, because you don't quite know what the ministers teach. But I would like to endorse that not all ministers are anti-Israel. And in fact, on the Isle of Wight, where I used to live, God called me to work overseas for a while. There was a vicar. I don't know if you've heard of him, Dr. Peter Pimentel, who was an Anglican vicar, and some friends of mine prayed and prayed and prayed for him, because he wasn't pro-Israel to start with. He became pro-Israel. He's absolutely brilliant at Hebrew, and he wrote his doctoral thesis on "And So All Israel Shall Be Saved." I've tried to read it. It's a bit... But, you know, yes, I endorse what Alison said. There are clergy who do support Israel. Thank you.
Thank you. So I've been praying a bit about the Anglican Church recently, and I've been fellowshipping with a local Anglican church who are on fire. They're amazing. It's a plant from Holy Trinity Brompton in Manchester. And I've been praying about it, and I felt the Lord say, I have not finished with the established church in this nation. And I was like, yeah, but God, what about the homosexual issue? And what about this? And I was like, I just felt God say, I have not finished with the established church in this nation. So let's just pray now, if maybe three or four of you can pray out prayers out loud to pray for Alison and the Anglican Church. Okay. And the Baptist Church. Okay.
Before we pray, can I have the word clergy defined, please? Would you define that in actual fact as in the root of the word?
I don't know that I can define the clergy, the root of the word clergy, but vicar, the word vicar comes from vicarious, which, and we all have a vicarious ministry. My position is that, yes, the Lord has called me to train to be a leader. He's not called me to train to be a priest. And I struggle with all the priestly things that I am told to do. and don't do some of them. I'm a rebel with a cause. So it's vicarious, we all have this ministry. We are very much the priesthood of all believers, and this is what I preach and what I try and teach and how I try and lead. And I'm trying to do it by example within my ministry. And I'm very blessed to have a training incumbent over me who will allow me to do these things and allows me to step back and reflect theologically on things, which you don't get the chance to do at college. But as soon as you get up and you do it before the people, before the congregation, before the visitors, you realise you have to question your own integrity, and that's the place I'm at. It's just a vicarious ministry is all I would say.
If it helps, I always think keep these things really as simple as possible. If you remember the reason why Jesus could not accept Israel and the kingdom, it wasn't because the people didn't accept him, because they did, because he went into Jerusalem being hailed as a king of kings. It's because the leaders didn't accept him. So what we need to pray for is the grace and mercy of God to come upon all the leaders of all the denominations of this country. Because without that, nothing's going to happen. And we can't influence that except by prayer on our knees. And actually, on our prayer time around the building yesterday, this is what we were praying for. That God would actually renew his church. And it's only by grace and mercy it's ever going to happen. But we are a key linchpin in that, because now God has given us that responsibility to pray. And that is an awesome responsibility. And I would say that of all the things that we could go away from here from, we've been given a mission to pray. Each and every one of us. What an important mission we've got. And God has entrusted us to pray in faith to him that he would do it. God has given us the hope in the Brexit vote. He said, I'm going to start something, I'm going to finish it. So let's work with him to enable him to finish it.
Leaders like Alison are important. Leaders like Bishop Alison are important. Bishop. No, but seriously, Daniel, if we think about Daniel, one man prayed. Yeah. What happened? They came back into the land from one prayer. Are they testimonies or related to the Anglican? Because we're going to pray for. Do you want to say something now?
Yeah. It's not just the established church. It's not just the established church, all the house groups and the non-denominations, they can get it just as wrong. We need to pray for all the leaders.
Can I just encourage you? I'm not an Anglican, haven't been since I was 14. But I read somewhere this very week, it might have been on Facebook, and I do trust it, it said that the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, has said that they must, within the church, deal with their attitude toward Israel and the Jewish people and anti-Semitism. So, he's the head one of the Church of England. Let's hope it filters right through to their minions.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, well, do you want to say something? No. Well, let's pray for the church in this nation, but particularly for the Anglican church, because I think he's doing something very special in that denomination, established church, whatever you like to call it, and pray for Alison. So maybe we can have three or four of you pray out loud. I'll kick off. So, Lord, we thank you that we have an established church in this nation. We thank you for the Anglicans, for the Baptists, for the Free Churches, for the Methodists, for all these groups. And we pray for a shaking of this nation's church, that we will come back to you and love you and seek you with all our hearts, that we will be consumed with you, that we would pursue holiness, and at the foot of the cross, abandon ourselves to you. That we would be, as a nation of churchgoers, Holy Spirit filled, God lovers. Lord, I pray especially for the Anglican Church, Lord, that you would do something special. Protect those leaders that do not want to see a move to a socially acceptable gospel. Protect them. And I pray that there would be revival, a genuine revival, back to the Bible movement, filled with the Spirit, evangelism, church planting, that you would do something special, that you, even now you would appoint leaders, the right leaders in the right place. And those leaders that are there, that are weary and they're being battered, refresh them, renew them, strengthen them. So we pray, Lord, and we ask for a blessing upon the church in this nation, especially the Anglican movement. In Jesus' name.
To turn to you, Lord, and we just give you thanks this morning. Father, we pray that you will bless every single leader, Lord. We thank you that you are the vicarious one, and Lord, everyone else is just your servant. And so, Lord, we pray for all the leaders in the Anglican, the Baptist, the Methodist. Father, you know who they are, and you know where they stand, and we give you thanks for the wonderful ministry that we have received through some of them, Lord. They're not all anti-Semitic. Father, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you will move and work once more, Lord. Give us this opportunity that, Lord God, the right attitude toward Israel will come back again. And Father, also, that the gospel of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, will go into this nation. Father, we believe that at this time you have given us another chance. And Father, we praise you and we look forward, Lord, to what you're going to do. Amen.
You said you would build your church. And so, Father, we thank you that you give us opportunities to open our understanding and open our eyes and open our acceptance of things that sometimes are hard for us. I know myself, coming from the Pentecostal sort of in evangelical background, sometimes it's hard for me to think outside the box. And I know, Lord, we need sound biblical understanding. You don't want us to wander off into the wrong avenues. But at the same time, Lord, we do believe that you are preparing a church, and you are going to call people from all kinds of backgrounds, from all denominations, because you are not denominational. You're the God who calls all people to know you, to love you, and to serve you. And we thank you, Lord, that I really believe as well, Lord, as we have understood this weekend, that when you have people who know and understand the place of Israel in your purposes, in your plan, and that Israel is absolutely key to everything you have done and all you are doing, when we understand that and know, Lord, that in its correct biblical context, in how it works, Lord, then we believe, Lord, that we are moving in the right direction. Thank you, Lord, that you can correct us. Your Holy Spirit can correct us and guide us. But we thank you, Lord, for all of those who shared this morning from their different liturgical backgrounds and whatever. We pray for them, Father. We pray you'll bless them. We pray you'll encourage them. And we pray, Father God, that you will show us how to pray correctly and how to pray biblically to have this, to do this, Lord, so that we can do it for your glory. Amen.
Amen.
I've actually got something to share as well as a prayer. So if someone else needs to pray first, okay. then Shall I share? I think Bob's got his hand up, has he?
If it's sharing about the Anglican...
Well, it's along this line, yes. All right, I'll share it. It's not breaking the flow. Okay. The morning that we came on Friday morning, I woke up with a really powerful dream. And the dream was of this black stump of a tree. And it was like a really hollow, dead, black, rotten tree. And it was quite ugly. And it didn't have any branches. And it didn't have any leaves. And then I noticed a tiny little green shoot inside this tree, hollow tree. And I woke up. That was the end of the dream. And in my head was a verse from the Bible when I woke up. And it was from Job about the hope for a tree if it is cut down. And it is Job 14, verses 7 to 9. For there is hope for a tree if it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its root may grow old in the earth, and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. And when we had our prayer walk, I was just open to the Holy Spirit to show us anything to pray for. And there was this chopped down tree, and we prayed these verses in our prayer walk. That there's hope, just to endorse what you're saying, that there's where I just feel that we're not to look on people and judge and say that, you know, it's past hope. It's even an exhortation to myself that at the centre of water, at where there's life, it can bring forth life. And we do pray this, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the promise that at the centre of the water, you bring life again where life has withered away. And we thank you for this promise. I believe you've spoken this to us, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to watch and to see that little tender shoot, yes, where it is in the structures and in the... churches or whatever that we could so easily just write off. But Lord, we thank you that you see that tender shoot, and we pray, Lord, send your Holy Spirit, yes, that, yes, these tender shoots would grow and become life once more in our churches and in our nation and the people, Lord, that you, Lord, would help us to walk in your Holy Spirit and not to crush or stamp on any tender shoots, but to, Lord, bring the fragrance of Jesus to the where you want it, Lord. We say, use us, Lord. Please use us, Father, in Jesus' name.
Jesus. Amen. Okay, should we...
For those of you who were praying, as you were praying, the Lord gave me a picture of, it was like a stainless steel canister. It was very, very, very narrow. And it was full of sort of water. And as we all know, there's a great shaking that is going on. The shaking's not only going on in our nation, but it's going on in our churches, in our fellowships. And what the Lord was saying, let me do that shaking. Because deep down in the very bottom of that cylinder, like your black tree, Rosemary, there are things that are not right. And they've been hidden away in the churches, they've been hidden away in our nation. And what God is doing is bringing those things to the surface. And the surface of this canister was all gungy, all, you know, like when you buy the sea sometime and there's all the
the nasty, gungy stuff and foam and everything else. And what he's doing, he's blowing that wind of change. In the whirlwind that's going on around us, he's blowing that scum. But first of all, he has to do that shaking to bring that stuff which is wrong in our establishments and in the nation to the surface. And you know the scripture that says, I will refine. And Lord, he was saying, Alison, he was saying particularly that he's put you exactly where he wants you to be, because you're one of those remnant that has been shaken in your life. And I don't know, you know, for your calling to go into the Anglican Church. He said he's put you where you're meant to be, because you are one of that remnant that will speak out the truth about the Hebraic roots. And I believe, you know, not only for you, I believe many in this room, he's put sometimes in very isolated situations so that we can speak out that truth. In other words, he's refined us, and I'm sure many of us have gone through a lot of refining, to bring us out pure so that we can hear his voice and then speak out the truth with the right teaching and everything else, but to speak it out in love. So he just says, don't be worried about the shaking, because out of the shaking, it will come forth as pure.
Yes, Jesus. Not got understanding yet regarding the truth about your beloved Israel. Lord God, please would you come. We're so sorry, Lord, for the replacement theology that is within these churches that we know of, Lord, here in Devon. Oh God, please, Lord God, would you come and take that veil away from so many, Lord, so many leaders, Lord, in these churches here in Devon, Lord God, here in Torquay, here in the surrounding towns, Lord God. Please, would you do this work, Lord, for the glory of your beloved Son. Open their eyes, Lord God. We beseech you, Lord, because of the hour that we are in. Oh God, we beseech of you to please open their eyes and let them see, Lord, from your point of view, your beloved people and your land, that you are indeed, Lord God, the Lord God of Israel. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, but humbly, Lord, as you say that, I, along with your people, as if we have spoken badly against your church, we have said wrong things, we've spoken badly, so please forgive us. Please forgive us all. And would you cancel out every curse that has been spoken through my words and through others?
Yes, Lord.
Please, Lord Jesus, would you bring back a rightful understanding about your people? Send out your light, send out your truth. It's your church. Have your way, Lord God. Have your way.
Praise the Lord. I'm reading from, following on our sister's prayer concerning shaking. I look at the letter to the Hebrews, the letter to our Jewish brothers and sisters. It's chapter 12 of Hebrews, and it's verse 26. His voice shook the earth at that time, but now he has promised, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but heaven as well. The words once more plainly show that the created things will be shaken and removed, so that things that cannot be shaken will remain. Let's be thankful then, because we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let's be grateful and worship God in a way that will please him with reverence and awe, because our God is indeed a destroying fire. Lord, you created fire in Israel in the last weeks, and that you let your people go free. And Lord, you destroy by fire, your Holy Spirit fire in us. Please will you destroy all the things which are against you in our churches, and bring them to know that as Gentiles we can't lord it over one another, because you told us we mustn't be try to be one above the other. Please, Lord, may we be one in you and one within Messiah. Thank you for your grace and mercy to us. And I pray very much for the Anglican Church, that you would take away all the burdens that so many people have, rushing round the circuits, rushing round the parishes, plural, with one man doing about 55,000 jobs, and people wanting for him to do everything for them. Lord, would you change this matter, that people may become the stewards of your word? And I pray very much that the little parish churches will not be taken over by the evil one, that you will shut down those things which are wrong, and that you will open up those things which are of you. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for everybody that's been here at this conference. Thank you for the life of each one. Each one is a miracle and your masterpiece in progress. So I thank you for each one's calling and redemption and sanctification and being led on in you. And Lord, I'd like to pray specifically for Alison and for others like her who are working within an established framework that doesn't really honor Hebraic roots. Lord, I pray for Alison that you would surround her with three or maybe four faithful and discerning intercessors who would be able to pray with her and for her, be sensitive to attacks upon her and pray for her. And also, Lord, when she does a new thing each time, Lord, that they would be able to pray and send powerful prayers like Exocet missiles to soften up the ground so that you may be able to work powerfully through her, Lord, to bring this message of the lost Hebraic roots to all through all that she does. And for others like her in the established church, Lord, would you encourage and strengthen and bring intercessors to pray this into being? In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.
And Father, I just want to simply thank you that those who weren't really earnest in seeking you to find out about Israel and your Jewish people, that by your graciousness, your loving kindness, you have led us along that road. And Lord, that you have used the tool of dancing and worship, and especially the messianic music, you have used that to draw us and to open our eyes. And it's happening with more and more. And we just thank you and praise you for that great privilege and the privilege of being here and being with like-minded people. And I also want to thank you, Lord, for the shaking, but the shaking for us to come out of the churches and onto the streets. I thank you for this great move that's going on in our nation at this time. I don't know whether many of you have heard about it, but it's a great thing going on in Reading, where apparently 1,000 have come to Christ on the street, and in Ely, and I think I've forgotten the other place, but there's a move of the Spirit of God in these towns when the Christians go onto the streets. And I just pray that with the street pastors and the prayer pastors and evangelists and help us to be brave and courageous for those you've called to go on the streets, perhaps with singing and dancing. Lord, we pray for these openings and thank you for the shaking, because it's even though we're with people in the churches that we don't see eye to eye with, it's still a safe place to be, and it needs a lot more courage to go out on the streets. And Jesus went out. Lord, he went out to the people. So I pray that you would give us openings for those that you want out on the streets.
that we might glorify your name and be bold among the people and help to change the culture in this nation for the glory of your name. Amen.
Father, I just reiterating actually our prayers of many of my brothers and sisters here this morning. But Lord, I just ask for those leaders of the churches who believe in the truth of the Judeo-Christian roots, Father, that you will give them boldness to stand. And Father, that you would protect them against any attack from the enemy. Father, it's a difficult place to stand in these days. And Father, I thank you for that news that Nancy, you brought from the Archbishop of Canterbury. That's wonderful. So Father, thank you that that's coming from the top. So Father, just give them courage, give them boldness, that nothing will waver their beliefs and nothing will waver what they're teaching their congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, I just ask that in our individual walk, those who believe, Father, who've are seeking you to bless you, Father, to understand through our Lord Jesus Christ, your nature, Lord, your mercy, your everything that you are, O God, your holiness. I'd just like to bring this word, Father, and in the prayer, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. So, Father, I just ask that the encouragement that's within the teaching that we've heard just this weekend, Father, that encouragement will encourage, and that you, Father God, will, by your Spirit, encourage those who believe to read and get into your word, Father.
Yes, Jesus.
Because in your word alone is revelation, and everything of you, O God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love, Father, that you have. But Father, you've given each one of us a responsibility because we're walking our own walk. We can't walk anyone else's, can we, Father? We can only walk our own walk and be responsible for where we are. In your sight, O God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, I lift this up to you, O Father, for a mighty blessing and outpouring of your word, Lord, and that seeking to find, Father. You've given the opportunity and you're bringing it now so that people can come and walk, Lord, in an increasing holiness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I have a real sense that there are many of us that have been hurt by churches. And I guess if you believe in the things of the Holy Spirit, believe in a biblically based faith, and believe that there is a place for Israel, well, those things will probably mean that at some point you would have probably been hurt by a church. And I feel the Lord saying, it's time to just let that go. Because I'm working in the church. Don't hold on to that bitterness. So I'm just going to pray and respond in your heart if you agree. So Lord, we bring our hurts to you that the church has treated us pretty badly. And we bring that bitterness that we've held on to. And Lord, we choose to let it go. By the blood of Jesus, we choose to let it go. We do not want to hold on anything against them anymore. We know that you are working in the churches, and at the end of the day, it is your church, not ours. So, Lord, we choose to let it go, all the bitterness, all the anger, all the resentment. I pray that you would help us by the blood of Jesus as you work in the churches. Amen.
Amen.
These surely are these days. That darkness encompasses the things that Joe has just been praying about. When darkness gets darker, Lord, help us to shine brighter.
Yes.
Help us to shine brighter and brighter from glory to glory, that the church may see and that they may turn to you. You are the light of this world. But you are also the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let it shine. Help us, Lord, that we shine brighter, brighter in a darker world, brighter and brighter. For that is a testimony to you, and it is all about you. Help us to shine brighter, Lord. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Just a quick prayer, sorry. Father, I just want to bring all the people to you who you've placed in dry churches, just as Rosemary has spoken of. And Father, even our friends Adrian and Judy were here yesterday. And Father, we just praise you and thank you, Father, that you know exactly what you're doing, and that to those who have an ear to hear what your Spirit is saying to them, and who are obedient to go and to rest and to stay and to wait in those places where you have taken them and led them. Father, we just lift them before you, Father, in those dry and arid churches, Father, where they find that they're not being fed, where they're not being encouraged, and yet, Father, you're with them. You're their helper. You're their teacher. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you for their faith. And Lord, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit, Father, your fire, and that you would revive them, that you would revive those churches and bring your truth, Father. And Lord, we think of the local area here and the opportunities that those churches have to invite Jose to come and preach and teach to them. So, Father, we just thank you for that couple who came from our locality. And, Father, we pray that they will take back what they have heard and learned, and that those others who are here will also be able to do the same, Father, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, I'd like to take about 6 minutes, so it's not going to be long. It's just going to have to be really, really snappy. If we can pray for this nation in twos, threes, fours. Just where you are, turn around, twos, threes, fours, and pray for this nation. As I say, you won't have long, so get in there quickly and pray out. And I'll bring us together again.